utilize rebound if you need to real quick. And noting here in John 15, some, I don't want to use the word interesting, it's overworked. Some enlightening, provocative terms that are used here by Jesus in this discourse that he delivered to his disciples. He's the main vine. Simple to break this down. The believer in him is the branch. There's two types of branches. There's branches that do not produce any fruit, even though they're connected to the vine. The non-fruit-bearing branches are to be cut away, and that illustrates that God is not pleased with the believer in time who is not producing divine good as a result of abiding in him and I in you formula, which is being in fellowship and getting the mind of Christ to govern your thinking. You think like the Savior, the Creator. You begin to think his thoughts on all fields and subjects. Then you'll become productive like a branch. Maybe in your life you were an unproductive branch for a long time. You can change that, obviously. So the thing can't accommodate every little situation. It's the overall picture. So the branch is the believer. God's plan, as in someone who is raising grapes, is to have a bountiful harvest, and each branch is laden down with grapes. So much it just kind of pulls it down. It's heavy. Now, all this was, there's a whole process. The vine dresser is God the Father. He already said that. What do vine dressers do? Well, they, as horticulturalists, as individuals with knowledge in a particular plant, they know when to prune it, they know how much to prune it, and to the untrained eye, that might look extreme. What are you doing to this? But that's a person without knowledge. A person with knowledge knows very well, and God has the knowledge. What is pruning? Pruning is the sufferings we go through. In a way, I guess you could say, the plant is not allowed to just do what it wants to do, the branches. They're cut back. They're pruned. And the pruning, every branch needs to be pruned, obviously at the right time of year. There's a time in the year there's a time to prune, in this case, the one of the prominent plants of the Bible, the one that produces grapes and wine, the vine. So there's a time to prune it. And so our sufferings are a part of this pruning. Imagine the plant with no pruning, no attention in this regard, growing wild. You're not going to get what you want. That's where man has stepped in and has figured out with regard to a plant. God gave us the plant. We figure out how to get the maximum benefit from it. That's man taking it to the next step. Pruning is your sufferings. Because if you don't suffer anything, it's not going to happen. But if you don't suffer under doctrine, you're not going to grow. And this produces a better quality of product, grape, a better harvest. So, again, acclimating to the totality of one's life. Now, if your sufferings are just the result of sin nature, stupidity, non-application of doctrine, that's dead in the water. You come here to find out what the directive will of God is. That's first. Now, whether you implement it or not, that's something else. You don't get the benefits if you don't implement it. You got the do's and you got the don'ts. Isn't that true in everything in life? Whether it's preparing a meal, a particular item, there are do's and there's don'ts. If you violate those, it won't come out and it will be worth eating. True in any field of endeavor and activity, human activity. You want a successful marriage? There are do's and there's don'ts for both sides in the relationship. On and on and on it goes. If you want a good product, who doesn't? If you want a good product, you've got to follow the rules. So, when people say silly stuff, no rules. Outback, no rules. Well, you couldn't eat the stuff if there wasn't any. I'm not promoting a restaurant one way or another. I'm just saying, I don't like the place. It's too noisy. That's just me. There are rules in life. And where do we stand up against those rules? Our sin nature. We don't want to do that. Because basically, the human race is antinomian, which is a big word for lawless. They don't want to follow this procedure with regard to this. They want to skip over and jump over and do it their way. And there is a way that seems right to a man, but the end are the ways of death. How has doing it your way got you anywhere? And certainly not spiritually. Now, a person that's successful out here and say, but he followed rules. Unless he's a criminal. Unless he's involved with criminal activity, and there's a lot of that, and cheating people, and stealing, and all kinds of games. Well, there's people that are prospering like mad out here doing criminal stuff. But they're not following the right rules. We have rules. The Bible lays out our rules. So, this chapter, when you pay attention to it, the branch thrown away is a believer who dies without honor. When a believer dies with honor, they're into doctrine, they're in God's will, however they die, peacefully, painfully, martyr, but the castaways, I know that sounds like strong language, and it might appear to be. But this is how serious it is when believers are going to wind up coming up short at the judgment seat of Christ. They're going to be saved through fire. They're going to go through fire. They're going to see the totality of their works burned up in the extreme with little or no reward. To say is their very, very own for all eternity. And some of us, we're going to be the billionaires of phase 3 without all the bad stuff that billionaires have going for them today, okay? None of that negative stuff. You know, here's a guy, he's 80-some years old, he's a billionaire, he looks like a wreck, and his money isn't doing him any good. He's just investing because he's got to make more money till the day he kicks the bucket. He's got to make his last deal. Like it's going to do him any good to have another 20 million or whatever it is. You know, this is the craziness of the human race. We've got the wealth that matters. It transcends time. You're all rich if you're a believer. Some of you are super rich in Christ and getting richer. And it won't be the negative side of riches today where you got a whole bunch of people in eternity looking at you and being jealous because of what you got. They will know you were a performer. You were a doer. You applied doctrine. You were under doctrine. They don't even have to know anything about you. They'll just look at you and what you have. So don't throw away your confidence because things are coming up between now and the end. Get serious about this. I have to with myself. Could dislodge any particular person. And that's why you need to be on the alert, praying for the royal family, praying for your pastor, praying for yourself. Get me through today. There's another one coming up after that. But get me through this one in good order. And if it wasn't your best day, you got out of fellowship right from the get-go, the minute your feet hit the floor, and you spun out all day, one thing after another, and you never checked yourself, got yourself back, stopped, prayed, reset, boom. Okay, you had a bad day. and was your own fault. You can say I had a tough day, but I was in fellowship. I handled it. I handled adversity. And I handled it today. There's no reason why you can't handle it any day. Every day is not going to be the same. God's not going to keep you under a particular test forever. If you're applying, He'll deliver you from it and move you to the next level. It isn't all about suffering either. But suffering's a part of human existence. Have you not noticed? This is not a friendly world. There's a lot of stuff out there. So we have to work our way through this. You get in an argument with your spouse. Oh, it's the end of the world. You eventually got to cool all that down, get in fellowship, and move forward. They don't dissolve your marriage over it. Where does that leave you? You hang in there. You persevere. You endure. Now, obviously, there are things that you would not be asked to endure. Now, if your spouse is bringing drugs home for you to take, then you probably shouldn't endure that. I just picked that out of the air. I'm not living with anybody that's doing drugs. I ain't gonna be around anybody that's doing drugs. You're doing drugs. You don't like your health. That's the first thing. You don't even like yourself. You think you do, but you don't. You are screwing up your brain chemistry and all the other fallout that comes from it, and all these dummies out here that are taking this into their system and wondering why they got problems. Not to mention, you can wind up incarcerated. Dead. Nothing good comes of that. And it is rampant. Or rampant. Jack Bowger's pronunciation with special emphasis. It's rampant. Out there. And a lot of it's illegal. Go find a doctor. And give you all the painkillers you want, and you'll be completely, totally addicted. And that'll mess you all up. They're prescribing all kinds of stuff today. Oh, I think you got this disorder. If you think you got this disorder, you might ask your doctor if this toxin's right for you. We will list here in a minute the bad side effects that this thing can produce in your body. We've lost our minds, our ability to discern stuff. And go, no, I'm going to go to God in prayer first with my condition. I mean, really go to God in prayer for my condition. I'm not going to run to the first medical expert unless, you know, I'm bleeding to death or something. Then I better probably get there and get that all fixed up. But I'm talking about these kind of conditions where you can figure things out. I'm going to pray. There's a story of a king in the Old Testament, King Asa? Yeah, that's him. He suddenly had a disorder that incapacitated him, and it had to do with his feet. You know what he didn't do? You read about it. All these lessons are in the Bible. He didn't consult the Lord. Now, obviously, he's under the law and under the system where you can go to the priest and maybe Urim and Thummim and all that good stuff, where he could consult the Lord, and maybe he could go directly, however he did it, that I'm not quite sure on right now. But he did not consult the Lord about his physical situation. He ran to the physicians. That was his first line of going, and things didn't get better. So the first thing you do is you consult the Lord. You make it a big deal about prayer. It's not to say God cannot trigger something in you so much that just checkmates it. It's called a miracle. And you've heard people say, oh, that medical deal, that was, they all say, oh, we have no explanation. It's a miracle. All God has to do is touch something and it's done. He saves people today, before, and so forth. So that's the first thing you do. And then you pray about if there is any therapy out there that I can lay my hands on. Anything. I have an open mind. I'm not closed-minded. That will help me. I'm praying about it. You might ask somebody that knows something at Maranatha Church. It may be a very simple thing to fix what's wrong with you. So, again, we go back to prayer. Even if you go and put yourself in the hands of somebody to do something, if you're doing it with the whole attitude of, I'm just trusting this guy, you know? No, I'm trusting God, and maybe this guy will or this person will be used to help me with this in the right way. And it takes faith. All these things, it's kind of like a recipe. You got all the right ingredients, you got them in the right proportions at the right time, it'll come out beautifully. It'll work out. And if it's a situation where you're just going to labor under this, obviously old age, you can't pray, get rid of my old age, would you? Now, there's promises out there that this will make you look 10 years old. Yeah, you look 10 years older, but you're still that age. And there's lots of things to pray about. You know, everything. If everything is included in the everything, then I can pray about, okay, God, help me. Some of you have gone through extended health tests, and finally worked your way through it. You were in a lot of pain. God showed you a way out. You were being pruned, one. Wasn't any fun. You were being pruned. You figured out, and you got the right answer, and God blessed you. Because people that throw themselves in the hands of things and say, this person is going to care for it, that can all go awry. There is no absolute that this will always work. That's why we have God. God is my trust. So whatever you need, you make Him your trust. If you've never done that in your life, then this is time to start doing it. You trust Him in the little things. Lean not on your own understanding, the Bible says. I got this figured out. No, you may have. You may have. But we're not to lean on our own understanding. It's fun to see God work and deal with situations in your life. And sometimes you don't even have to lift a finger. He just checkmates certain things. Boom. Boom! He's got His ways. He's got buttons to push. Your worst enemy, somebody's an antagonist, God has a way of shutting them down so quick. And on you go. You didn't have a bad attitude. And even if they're going down, you don't rejoice. If your enemy's going down, you don't go, yay, 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 like idiots do. Because then God will take the heat off of you. You don't want that. I'm just kidding. So, if you abide in me and my words in you, that's Christ in you. And that theme is through the New Testament. Christ in you, the hope of glory, is Bible doctrine in the soul. It isn't quite the same as the indwelling Holy Spirit. That's the Holy Spirit in you. Christ in you is doctrine, truth in the inner man. You build it up every time you come and you genuinely listen to me. Now, if you're not interested, you'll go right back out here and do the same old, and what it gets you. And you know why I know you'll do the same old? Because you just hardened your heart again. And you've got so many layers of scar tissue, you ain't going to ever get through that. Scar tissue is hardness of the heart. You harden your heart to the truth, keep pressing down that road to destruction, to a negative end, even if you get, you know, a bunch of money and get this. I've seen people in this church, I've seen people get a little bit of money and wreck themselves spiritually. It was like, are you kidding me? You got a promotion and a job. Well, good for you. I'm glad. You were on a short leash. And now, it's not like, you know, you're a millionaire. You're not making six figures a year. You just went up 10, 20,000. One person got $5,000 as a result of some deal. Boom, they're gone. $5,000? You're going to have to come up with a little more to buy me off. I can go through $5,000 quicker than you know what through a goose. So you know, what's that? I'm not coming back to that church. I'm not going to listen to him anymore. You know, I hear all the reasons. I'm too old to change. No, you're just too stubborn. Age has nothing to do with it. Although it does in a way. We'll get that in Ecclesiastes. Old people, elderly people, they're the least likely to change their minds. That's the worst thing about growing old. It isn't physical deterioration. It is this mindset. You can be young at heart. That's true. You know, it's like the Bible says, if there's you can have inner beauty. It's worth more than overt beauty. You know, there's old folk saying, pretty is as pretty does. You get the prettiest girl in the world. You marry her, and she's a monster on the inside. Every time you look at her, you'll see two horns and stuff running out of her mouth. I mean, that's what you get because you had the Samson complex when he told his parents. You imagine this big old guy, strong as hell, does all this stuff. He's got this supernatural strength. And he tells his mom and his dad, he spots this female out and about. He said, get her for me. She looks good to me. Now, what's not in the Bible, but probably there, it probably happened, his mother says, why can't you marry a nice Jewish girl? Because she wasn't Jewish. But she looked good to him. It all ended bad. There's inner beauty, ladies. And it is timeless. It isn't in a cosmetic jar. It isn't in Botox. It isn't in an expensive plastic surgeon. It isn't in any of those places. Because if you're ugly on the inside, but inner beauty radiates out. It's a part of, you know, oh, she's gorgeous, but I might as well marry a mannequin. She has no personality. She's not funny. She's not witty. She's not kind. She's just pretty. Be like buying a car. Oh, the thing's beautiful. Gorgeous interior. Great lines. Beautiful paint. The damn thing breaks down every other day. Do you want that car? That's when you marry the wrong one. You got the wrong car. You based it on externalities exclusively. We all like externalities. God's into beauty. There's a lot of beauty in the world. You see these animals and some of these things, and never understood why God made the males all the pretty ones in the animal kingdoms and the females the kind of... The plain looking ones. The peacock, yeah, he's all this color, you know, he's a show-off. And the female, and a lot of those birds, the female of the species is the... And then you reversed it in the human realm, or supposedly. But you know, even when doctor, you learn how to take care of yourself. Inside, outside. If you want to. You want to pray about it. Like my clothes guy says, Jack, he says, the young people today do not know how to dress. I said, you're telling me? He says, well, you can sit here and watch them walk in the mall. He says, look at this. And it isn't because they're poor. Well, I said, it's a whole, of course he couldn't get this. It's a whole cultural degeneration we're experiencing in this country. We went from norms and standards that were in my parents' day. Yeah, they had their problems. Oh, they had their problems. But it's just a loss of norms and standards. Norms and standards are important. I have my standards. And that doesn't fit it. That doesn't qualify. And then, of course, for us, we look in the Bible and we say, the Bible says you aren't supposed to be doing that. It's a rule. You don't just start living with a woman. What do you think of her? You must not think much of her. And then this goes on. Yeah, it was advertised all over TV and, you know, Friends and all this junk. So their norms and standards have deteriorated. So, you know, there's no honor. There's no honor. If you're in a relationship like that, end it. End it. It's better to live in a corner of a room by yourself than to live in a bad situation that isn't biblically sponsored. God knew what he was doing when he set up the divine institution in the Garden of Eden. And we can run all 90 directions and do all this different stuff. And that's why we have chaos, misery, disease, and the whole nine yards. Poverty. Proverbs teaches the wrong woman. It teaches the wrong one. You marry this woman? Or you line up with her physically? That's the road to the poorhouse. All she's all relying on is her looks and what she's got that makes up her body for some stupid male to drag him down. They're all over out there. Someone tell me there's young girls out there, they all they want to do is get pregnant so they can have a baby and then dump the dummy. Really? You want that? You want to be isolated out here with that little brat and then and all the rest of it? You got a whole different idea of what's fun than I do. Unbelievable what people think. That's just how the devil can sell people all this junk. They'll buy it, lop it up right and left. Now you can't even refer to male and female in certain schools. You'll get kicked out. Kid got kicked out of college, out of a class, because he said there's only two genders. How dare him say that? We've lost our minds. And this was a big name school, too. It's a big name college. They're trying to get us to all think like they want the liberal, ultra-liberal lunatics. Ultra-liberal lunatics, yes, that's what they are. They want us to think like this. They want us to deny our true gender. A man's a man, a woman's a woman. They can go have some exotic surgery and run around and say, I'm a boy now. And parents doing it with their kids. It gets worse. And that's why, ladies and gentlemen, we're in the last days. In the last days, the lawlessness is just exploding across the landscape. So can you imagine someday in public school system, they got speech police? I'm not talking about kids cussing and things they can't be doing in class. I'm talking about stuff that's normal. Think of all the literature in human history where it has man and woman and everything. What, we're going to throw all that out? You can't even hold a job. You got to be sensitive and you got to say this. No. This is wrong. Can you imagine being a surgeon and mutilating people to try to change their identity for money? We have consistency, pray without ceasing. I got to spur myself on that one. It's a directive. And to pray without ceasing, to pray in all things. Persistence, we gave the parable of the persistent friend. Inclusiveness, our verse, Philippians 4:6, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and entreaty with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God. This is the request desk. You got a request? Bring it forward. We will look at it. We'll see if it's appropriate. So, let your requests be made known to God. Prayer's objects, and this is at the top of the list, and it can get you in trouble. That's a private joke for me. Wisdom is the most single important petition you can offer up as a believer. It is the single best one. Unless you presume that you know it all. That you got everything nailed down in the Bible. There's nothing hidden out there that's of any magnitude that you don't know. Now, if you're in that boat, then don't pray for this. You're just being stupid. You're not presumptuous. You know all things, God. You know your word perfectly. I have been learning it, and I've learned a lot. But I want to know what's there. Get it to me. Now, I recognize there's a time and place. It's just not going to happen like that. It might go on for time, but God knows. He's got this thing. He knows. He's sensitive. There's a time and there's a place, Ecclesiastes, for everything. Timing, timing, timing. You know how important that is in life, don't you? You're familiar. There's the timing. You don't want to rush ahead. And, of course, you don't want to drag back either. You want to be in sync. with the eternal God. And how can you do that? Well, be in fellowship, pray about things, learn the techniques in the Bible like faith, rest, patience, endurance, being in Bible class every time the doors are open, unless you're, you know, contagious, sick. We understand that. So praying. Solomon became the king and he replaced David. And that was large shoes to fill. But he was a handsome man. He inherited his father's great wealth. He inherited a kingdom that was in peace. They weren't in war. He was the king of peace. David was the king of war. It was the war that made the peace possible. And so Solomon, you know, really, he just fell into it because he was in the line of the kings. That was his time. He wrote a number of books in your Bible, wrote one psalm only, unlike his father. He wrote Proverbs and Ecclesiastes and Song of Solomon. Song of Solomon will be a fun one if we can get to it down the road here. Wisdom is the single most important petition you can make. This is what he started praying for. He didn't just, oh, I'm king now, and I got all the goodies, and I got all the handles on power, and I can do this and that. You will see kings where that stuff just went to their head. One got in the office real young, and he just went berserk. He was handsome, but he was arrogant. Well, God shut him down. He would never repent of what he did to get himself under discipline. And he lived in isolation. Reading the king lists and the different ones in the age of it, very interesting cast of characters. Imagine being a king. But if any of you lacks wisdom, and I might add, and you do, and we do, let him ask of God, who gives to all generously and without reproach. That's nice. He gives the wisdom, and he doesn't jump down our throats and say, well, you dummy, you should have known this. Now, you might get reproach if you hear it and you reject it. That's different. He's patient with us, and it will be given to him. But he must ask in faith. If you ask God for something that you really don't believe, and it's just coming out of your mouth or in your head, but you really don't believe it. Well, that shuts that prayer down. Now, you can recoup, get back, and reset, and make a successful launch. He must ask by faith without any doubting. Now, that's something you have to get on top of. If you actually, that's one, and that comes up, the reasons prayers die, you know, before they ever get, they won't be processed. For the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. Instead of stable under doctrine, it's like, takes an extreme. For that man ought not to expect that he'll receive anything from the Lord. Being double-souled. That's what that actually means. Double-souled. He flip-flops. I've seen those types. They're all gung-ho. They get pumped up. They're in Bible class. They're all gung-ho. And the next minute, they're out here in the world. They fall flat on their face. They're double-souled. Unstable in all his ways. That's an unstable believer. Flip-flop, 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 flip-flop. Talk the talk. Can't carry through with nothing. All right, I'll let you go. Thank you, Father, for the opportunity. May God, the Holy Spirit, enlighten us in Christ's name. Amen.